number three of the Rod Argent Show here on Utah's Talk Radio, 105.9 KNRS. Listen and you'll know. Great to be with you on this Monday. I wanted to share with you, I saw this, I don't know where I saw it. Maybe it was on television. Maybe it was an ad somewhere of this, I think it was a t-shirt. Yeah, it was a t-shirt that I saw. And this is what it read. It said, in 1983, we had Ronald Reagan, Johnny Cash, and Bob Hope. In 2023, we have Joe Biden, no cash, and no hope. Pretty well says it all, doesn't it? I kind of like that I saw over the weekend. All right, great to be with you. Hour number three of the Rod Argent Show on this Monday. Here in a minute, we're going to talk about hate in this country today. What is going on? We'll talk about the GOP and free speech. Lots been said about Kevin McCarthy, but did he set a bad example concerning a speech or a meeting in the U.S. Capitol? We'll explain what that's all about. And later on, are the Democrats out to destroy the middle class? We've been talking the last hour about the work requirement, the welfare work requirement. Well, are in fact Democrats out to destroy the middle class? You take a look at things, you would have to see the direction that they're taking the country. We'll talk about that as well. And of course, as always, your phone calls, 888-570-8010, or on your cell phone, dial #250 and say, hey, Rod. You know, in the aftermath of 9/11, back in 2001, politicians started to make common use of the term homeland. They told us the most dangerous threat to Americans, foreign terrorists, of course, right? Well, let's fast forward to this year. We had a president who just a couple of weeks ago told the graduating class at Howard University that the greatest threat to America today is white supremacists. And when you think of white supremacists, the Democrats want you to include in that phrase MAGA Republicans. There are good people out there who hate bad people. But the hate industry is working overtime now, trying to divide this country up as much as they possibly can. Let's talk about it right now. Joining us on our Newsmaker line is Edward Ring, Senior Fellow at the Center for American Greatness. Edward, great to have you on the show tonight. Edward, if you could define what you mean by the hate industry.
Well, the hate industry is a agglomeration of sectors, but you know, you could look at the diversity, equity, and inclusion bureaucracies, the equity, social, and governance movement in the corporate world, BLM and Antifa activists, corporate marketing departments, most of academia, big parts of government, the media. A lot of the media thrives as part of this so-called hate industry. Politicians need it for votes. A lot of commentators, they kind of get into sensationalized content because that attracts more audience for them. But the hate industry is something that's kind of a reaction to the polarization in the country and the fragmentation of the media, which made media ruthlessly competitive, and it's harder to get audience. It's easier to get people aroused if you say something that excites their fear or their anger. It's typically a more cost-effective way to get eyeballs and ears on a topic or on something you want to manipulate people over. So the hate industry is a good way to sort of describe what's happened. And the sad part about it is it's sort of the institutions in America have coalesced in fomenting hate basically against traditional Americans and traditional American values.
Are we seeing an example of it this weekend with the NAACP and its travel ban on Florida because of the policies of Ron DeSantis? Is that kind of a definition of what you're seeing as well?
Sure, that's part of it, because what's happened there is Ron DeSantis has done some things. If you actually read honest reporting on it, it's not nearly as extreme as they're saying, but it foments division and resentment and fear to sensationalize the things he's done. So that's a perfect example of the so-called hate industry.
How dangerous or divisive a game are they playing right now, do you feel, Ed?
It's a terrible decision. You know, I guess you would say the Joe Biden is sort of the symbol of what's going on. His campaign in the most recent election season was shameful. I think we can all recall that speech he gave. It was almost surreal the way it had armed guards and red lighting this very sinister backdrop. And he talked about basically how he's accusing half of the American people of being borderline Nazis. And that's very dangerous to dehumanize an entire segment of society. People who are pro-life, anyone critical of this new gender ideology, people that don't want to be ashamed of American history, they're all being dehumanized. People that don't think we're in a climate emergency, because we're not, they're being dehumanized, and they're all being lumped into one group, the so-called MAGA group, which is, you know, that this is just a way to split this country in half. And to do that in order to make a little more money or get a little more political advantage is shameful.
And for him to say, what was it, just a week or two ago, Ed, that white supremacy is the greatest threat to the United States and democracy right now, that's a bit of a stretch, isn't it, Ed?
It's a huge stretch. It's not backed up in any way by the data. And you may have seen some of these very good reporting coming out from Matt Taibbi and Michael Schellenberger and a few other people who are looking at the data, and there simply isn't any evidence. These FBI whistleblowers have been themselves demonized by the traditional media, the conventional mainstream media, as people that have some sort of problem with their work environment or problem with their personality, or maybe they're fanatics. But in reality, these are very responsible people who had the courage to speak up and say the FBI is deliberately trying to target examples of white supremacy, and they can't find any. There's so many other things. There's such a shortage, you know, of actual white supremacy incidents that they have to try to make them up or provoke them.
How good is the hate industry, do you think, yet in marketing hate around the country? How good are they at it?
Well, they're pretty good at it, because the country is very divided. And again, this is a way for a lot of media companies to survive. You know, it's a business survival strategy for I would say cable channels such as MSNBC and CNN, and you see it as well on the right. But what's happening is people that are competing for eyeballs and trying to survive either politically or commercially, they see an advantage in getting everybody scared. And of course, you've got the extraordinary manipulative ability now with high tech to precisely target individuals based on their social media profiles. And then you have people who, you know, none of us are used to the fact that we can get on Twitter, for example, and make a comment that's controversial, and all of a sudden there's an unlimited supply of people calling us names and being offended and refusing to reason. And we don't know how to adapt to that yet. This is a brand new experience for human beings to encounter an audience of anonymous, unaccountable people that are able to attack us and say whatever they want to us on social media. And that itself is a source of division in this country. And so people who are responsible in the media and in politics ought to recognize that and try to tone things down, instead of seeing something like Joe Biden accusing half the country of being borderline Nazis. That's just the wrong approach. It's pouring gasoline on a fire.
Boy, it sure is. There's got to be a hidden agenda here, isn't there, in your opinion, Ed? And if so, what is it?
Well, that's a really tough question. I mean, there's obviously a commercial and political advantage to spreading hate and fear and anger. So there's that. And that's right on the top. And there's a lot of opportunists, but that's really all there is to it. But you've got to wonder if there is something more, because where are we headed? You know, we're headed towards potentially forced rationing, being shoved into cities to supposedly save the environment, relocating people from the rural areas into urban cities, densifying all the cities, rationing energy, rationing water in the name of sustaining the planet. There's mass immigration occurring into the country, which is provoking controversy and resentment. And maybe we're even being pushed closer and closer to a bigger wars out in the world. And when these things happen, you need more security to enforce things that people are rebelling against or objecting to. So if you were going to say that there's a hidden agenda, it's to strengthen a police state, which is very troubling.
Very troubling and very scary. Always great to have Edward Ring on the show. Ed, thanks for joining us tonight. Of course, he is a senior fellow at the Center for American Greatness, talking about the hate industry. Unfortunately, it is alive and well and growing each and every day here in the U.S. All right, more coming up on the Rod Arquette Show and Utah's Talk Radio 105.9 KNRS. Listen, and you'll know.